Hello, everyone. This is Joe Tamburino, Tamburino Talks Law, and we are at week three of State of Minnesota versus Derek Chauvin. As we all know, Derek Chauvin is the defendant in this case. It involves the matters concerning the death of George Floyd on May 25th, 2020. Mr. Chauvin was the former Minneapolis police officer, and he's been charged with three counts. The first count is what's called felony murder. That's an unintentional murder involving an intentional felony. So what they're alleging is that Mr. Chauvin intentionally committed a felony assault against Mr. Floyd, and Mr. Floyd died as a result of that. The next count is what's called third-degree murder. Third-degree murder, also known as depraved mind murder, and all that means is that they are alleging that Mr. Chauvin did an act that was eminently dangerous to human beings, and he did it without any regard for human life. And of course, Mr. Floyd died as a result of that. And then the last count is called manslaughter in the second degree. And all that means is that Mr. Chauvin acted in a way that caused an unreasonable risk, and he consciously took a chance of causing the death of Mr. Floyd. So those are the charges involved in the case, and the matter technically started on March 8th, 2020. Now, when I say technically started, what I mean by that is that's when jury selection started. What they did in this case is the court system sent out approximately 250 jury questionnaires to prospective jurors throughout all of Hennepin County. And those prospective jurors filled out the forms and sent it back to court. And then, of course, the judge gave copies to the parties, the state of Minnesota, which is represented by the Attorney General's office. And I think they have about 10 or 12 attorneys working on this case. And then, of course, Mr. Eric Nelson, who is the defense attorney. He represents Mr. Chauvin. And, of course, they reviewed all of that. And on March 8th, 2021, they started jury selection. And as you may have read in the papers and seen in the news, jury selection pretty much is done as of today's date, which is March 22nd, 2021. It's a Monday. And when we talk about jury selection, we should start from the beginning and discuss what it actually is. Jury selection is basically this, that when you have a felony jury trial, which this obviously is, there are 12 jurors who must decide the case unanimously. They have to all be in agreement as to whether the defendant is guilty or not guilty. And they can only find that the defendant is guilty of anything if they believe that the state has proved the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And we'll get into some of these terms later on as the trial progresses. If it's a misdemeanor case or a gross misdemeanor case, then the jury is comprised of only 6 people. Now, before selection starts, the judge decides how many strikes each side gets. And let me explain to you what a strike is. They are called peremptory strikes. And what that means is that the prosecutor or the defense gets to kick out or remove any potential juror that they see fit. They don't even have to give a reason for it. There is an exception to that, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Now, normally, according to the rules, in any felony case, the prosecution has 3 strikes and the defense has 5. However, in certain cases, such as first-degree murder, the strikes go up to 15 for the defense and 9 for the prosecutor. And when I use the term prosecutor, that's just the state of Minnesota. They're the people who are prosecuting the case, meaning they want to get a conviction on the defendant. So in this case, Mr. Chauvin is not facing life in prison, not even close to that. But judges have the discretion of taking what is normally 5 strikes for the defense and 3 for the prosecutor and raising it. And in this case, that's what Judge Cahill did. He said the defense can get 15 strikes and the attorney general, the prosecutor, could get 9 strikes. And in fact, as of last Thursday, the judge even increased those strikes to 3 more for the defense and 1 more for the state. So what does that mean? That means that the defense has 18 strikes and the state has 10. Now, both sides have been using their strikes, and you might have seen in the paper or the media that sometimes when one side or another uses a strike, the other side cries foul and raises something called Batson, B-A-T-S-O-N. And Batson means that one attorney is challenging the other attorney's use of a peremptory strike. Here's what Batson is all about. There was a case back in 1986, Batson versus Kentucky. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, hey, look, you can use, litigators, your peremptory challenges as you see fit, but you can't use them just to strike racial minorities or people on the basis of their religion, ethnicity, gender. You can't do that. So since that time, if one side believes the other side inappropriately used a peremptory strike, they challenge it with Batson. So we've heard some of that here in this trial. It was all basically the prosecutor accusing the defense of using peremptory strikes on a racial basis. The judge never agreed with any of those, so no Batson challenges were upheld. What we've also seen throughout the last couple of weeks is a lot of fireworks in trial based on what's happening outside of the courtroom. On March 12th, which was a Friday, the city of Minneapolis settled the civil case with the Floyd family for $27 million. This was a federal lawsuit from the Floyd family against the city of Minneapolis. And they decided, it was a very bad decision, but they decided to do it, to have a 90-minute press conference involving all of the litigants on the plaintiff side, that's the Floyd family side, and the mayor, and the city attorney, Mr. Rawiter, and the city council members, all front and center, saying that the civil case has been resolved for $27 million. Well, of course, that was going to bleed into the jury selection process in Mr. Chauvin's case, which is exactly what happened. Because soon enough, many of the potential jurors were stricken for cause, and a strike for cause means either side doesn't use one of their peremptories. Rather, they say to the judge, hey, judge, look, this potential juror cannot be fair and impartial for whatever reason. And if the judge agrees, the judge removes that potential juror, and neither side has to use a strike. And so that's what was happening because of that press conference. But jury selection continued, and then the press conference issue reared its head again on Thursday, March 18th, when Mayor Fry and City Attorney Mr. Rawiter decided to mention the settlement in yet another press conference. And this is where you might have seen in the press that Judge Cahill simply had enough. He, in open court, told the city, please stop talking about this. He told everyone to stop talking about the settlement because it really could influence how the jury will see this case, and you don't want to have outside influences affect a jury. You want to have a jury to be fair and impartial. So after the judge, rightfully so, was quite perturbed as to what happened, again, jury selection continued. So where are we at? Well, right now it's Monday, March 22nd. Court's about to start in about a half hour, 45 minutes. There have been 13 jurors picked thus far, and the judge wants to pick at least another one or two jurors. Why? Well, he's thinking about increasing the number of alternates from two alternates to three alternates. If he does that, we will need 15 jurors. So court's about to start in about 45 minutes, and then we'll give you a recap later on today.